This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Here we go. It's hour number four of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic afternoon. Expressway's coming up in 20 minutes. LA Live's at 5:40. It's time now for an edition of Football's Finest, and let's learn all about this Zach Martin retirement here with the Chief.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we got the news in the last hour. Zach Martin hanging him up. He's all done. 10 years, 34 years old, made well over $100 million in his career, been banged up as of late, said thanks but no thanks. Seven-time first-team All-Pro, two-time second-team All-Pro, member of the 2010s NFL All-Decade team, a surefire lock for Canton. I saw this as a stat, Warren Sharp pointing this out. Zach Martin, almost 7,000 pass pro snaps in his career. He had zero accepted holding penalties in pass pro.
That's ridiculous.
I think he had seven holding calls his entire career. He had more All-Pros than holding penalties. But in pass pro, he never had a holding call that got accepted. And that was almost 7,000 pass pro snaps. That's kind of absolutely ridiculous. But he's absolutely an all-timer, one of the greatest Cowboys of all time. And he's been the best guard in football for pretty much his entire career. As respected as anyone that's ever stepped foot in that building or on an NFL field. And I just wonder, I know the injuries have piled up. He's made plenty of money. He's played plenty long. But do you think he would give it one more year if he felt like the Cowboys were actually close to contending?
I do. I think that's a big part of it, you know, and I think that's a realization that a lot of guys come to usually later in their careers, but it seems like Micah Parsons is hip to it right now. Like, hey, we're not team building like the best teams are. So I think if you're Zach Martin, you look around and you understand that, hey, we were really good in 14 and 16 and maybe 21, 22, 23 were pretty good, but this thing is heading in the wrong direction. My guys are gone. Yeah. You know, it's tough when, you know, you're sort of developing now. You're trying to rebuild. And as at that age, you know, what are your options? To go somewhere else? You're going to move your family across the country? Or are you going to go there by yourself and just not see your young ones for the majority of 6 months?
Exactly. Yeah,
that's a major life sacrifice.
Yeah, I can imagine if he still wanted to play and it's like, okay, but the Cowboys aren't contending. I want to play for a contender, but do I really want to move somewhere else, uproot the family or whatever? Probably not.
Well, the Midwest would make sense. Being he's from Indianapolis, you know, the family and all that's still kind of up there. You know, if he wanted to go back that direction. I thought that when Dawson was talking about Kansas City and places like that, that might be something. I will say this. I think his body told him he's played at such a high level.
Yeah.
Even if the Cowboys, I don't think this was a decision about how good or bad the Cowboys is. I think this is about legacies. I think this is about, like, going out there and not putting bad tape out. You know, that the fact that this year was so rough. What, this is the first time that he missed, Pro Bowls and All Pros and all his career? And I think it's about when people talk about you, what are they talking about? Are they talking about the guy that, you know, played all those years? Are they talking about the guy that looked not too good the last couple of years? So I think this was more about his body telling him he can't play at the level that he's accustomed to. I don't think the Cowboys had anything to do with this. Just my opinion.
Yeah.
That he said, no, I've played at such a high level. I don't want to go out there and just not be that guy. And
that makes plenty of sense.
Yeah. And I think that's what he went through last year. I think that made him realize that, man, it's getting to be the end. It's getting to be, and he even thought about it before the season even started. Remember, he was hinting
that's
that
true. That's
he
true.
Was hinting that
we went into the season knowing this is likely the end.
Yeah, I think his body surely told him that.
Well, it's certainly understandable that that he is going to take it this way, and best of luck to him in the post playing day career. I mean, we know like he wanted to jump on with us for the players show a couple of years ago. It seemed like he started to broaden his horizons when it comes to. I mean, he was just at the Super Bowl radio row doing the bounty stuff, putting himself out there. So I do wonder which direction he's about to take this now in the post career.
Man, I don't think Zach Martin is media desiring. I mean, he was good when he jumped in with us, but like in every other situation now, sometimes there's a Randy Moss where the guy seems like he doesn't want anything to do with the media, or Rasheed Wallace doesn't want anything to do with the media, and then he retires and he dives in and he's great. I think Zach Martin could be great, but he's never struck me as a guy that, you know, wanted to talk a lot about football.
I would say he probably takes the same path that we've seen from Travis Frederick. Kind of continue.
Disappear a little bit.
Disappear, spend time with the family, and, you know, and then, but also be a guy that does his charitable work, keeps his organizations going that way, supports his other teammates, shows up for an occasional, you know, hey, we're going to put you in the Ring of Honor thing. He'll show up for that, you know, kind of a thing. But I think he's probably heading back up to the Midwest and going to just find him a place and just settle down and do what he wants to do. I don't think we're going to see very much of him.
Well, good for him. He deserves exactly that if that's what he wants, man. What a stud. What a great dude. Great player. Just everything that you want your great players to be. He was that. He is that.
I think some players don't want to play anymore when they can't totally crush.
Yes.
You know, some players, like they retire from basketball and they want to go play at the YMCA still. They're like, hey, this is nowhere close, but I just like having a ball in my hands and shooting and stuff. But I think there's other guys that when they can't, like A.J. Brown said after the Super Bowl, I love totally dominating the opposition, right? That's what I'm in this thing for, is that human on human, I have humiliated you on TV. You know, and I think for a lot of guys, as soon as they realize, wait, I'm just like one of those other guys. I'm not special anymore. The relationship with the game changes in a very big way.
Yeah, especially these days when you make the amount of money that these guys make, like there's no reason to hang on. You don't have to go out there and embarrass yourself for a couple extra years just because you need the life-changing money. That is already there. So I totally understand. And as a fan of his, I honestly prefer that. You know, I mean, I would love to see him have a turn back the clock year for the Cowboys and go bulldoze people for 16, 17 games. But I think it was more likely that you're just seeing the breakdown and now you're seeing Zach Martin turn more into just an average NFL player, which is still dang good. But you're used to seeing him be the best in the business. He's used to that.
Yeah.
And so I totally get being like, nah, I'm not going to let y'all see me at my worst just because I want to satisfy more competitive. I've been competing my balls off for forever. Go ahead and throw in the towel. I totally respect this out of him.
Yeah, and I think that's a testament to, you know, being very, very front-ended, like, with your finances. Like, from the very beginning, thinking there is a scarcity to these resources. I think of Marshawn Lynch and Rob Gronkowski, two guys that never spend a single game check. And the flexibility that that gave them at the end of their careers, right? They're like, oh, I'm retiring. Oh, I've actually always wanted to play with the Raiders. Oh, Tom Brady wants me. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll go do media. Maybe I'll do reality TV. But the options that it gives you there at the end instead of having to cling to something for long-term security is huge.
Well, on the other side of the retirement coin, you have the report from Diana Russini that Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce is leaning towards continuing to play in 2025.
There he goes.
Which is surprising if you watched him play in the Super Bowl. And he looked like he was a total shell of himself and was just not anywhere close to the type of dude that we've grown accustomed to seeing. Thought he was going to be at his best, but maybe that bad taste in his mouth fuels him and Pat Mahomes for a one last ride type situation. But if I was the Chiefs, I'd be like, I don't know. Are you sure? Travis.
Right.
Think about this.
Yes.
Hey, we're giving you until March 14th, okay? Let's take it up until the midnight hour.
If you're, how do you think Andy Reid's looking at this, Brian?
I think Andy Reid is okay with either way this goes. I don't think
he's not pushing out the door when you're getting long in the tooth,
no,
guy.
No, he's not. Matter of fact, remember,
might be his only weakness.
Yeah, remember when you know he's very loyal to his players. Say about how he traded, Hill, but he kind of saw that, what was potentially going to happen. There's probably a big mistake that they made, but I kind of feel like that he is going to respect any way that Kelce decides this. And there's a reason why they gave him the date that they did. He's due that $12 million roster bonus.
Yeah.
And so, but whatever happens, I think Andy will adjust. I think he will figure out a way like, okay, we're going to need to go get a tight end now, mm-hmm. and they'll navigate it that way. I don't think it's one of these, what are we doing kind of things. And I'm going to try and talk you into it. I think Andy's going to allow him to make his decision on his own and not force him to do it one way or another.
Well, speaking of the Chiefs, it looks like Mahomes Sr., remember when he got into that little scuffle with John Rocker in New Orleans? Uh-huh. And then they set up the rough and rowdy fight with Barstool. These guys are going to duke it out in the boxing ring. Well, it turns out he's supposed to be making his baseline money for this. Mahomes Sr. is going to, he's going to make $85,000. And then depending on the pay-per-view numbers and if he wins, I guess he can make plenty more. But he's going to get in the ring with John Rocker for $85,000. Hmm. And apparently Pat Mahomes' son, he is unhappy about the match rumors, and he's doing everything he can to pull his dad out of the fight.
Yeah.
Which, of course, he is. You're like, Dad, I will just give you $85,000 right now. I'll double it, and then don't go embarrass yourself and our family more than you already have.
Well, maybe he's really nice with his hands, he's probably a better natural athlete than John Rocker, but John Rocker looks like dude lives in the gym.
Yeah.
He is an absolute rock monster.
You're going to have to be a really good fighter to overcome that strength disadvantage.
You better be a technician.
I mean, sometimes somebody says something to you outside a bar, though, and you just want a piece of them. And maybe to Senior, like the $85,000 is icing on the cake. Yeah. He just wants to knock him out for whatever was said out there on that New Orleans corner that night.
I'll be looking forward to watching this, though, I will say. Like, what are we going to get out of this fight? It's going to be more sad than anything I imagine.
Is this like a summertime event? Is this a...
Barstool does a rough and rowdy boxing match.
They should do it out of West Virginia, I thought.
I have no idea the whereabouts or the timing. I think it's coming up maybe later this spring or something like that, but... Yeah.
I mean, even the greatest fighter of all, at least of my lifetime, Mike Tyson, was 54. Senior's 53, right?
So, and washed, by the way. Yeah. Washed.
Yeah. Yeah.
A real life lush.
He's having a great time. He's enjoying life as Patrick Mahomes' dad, former professional athlete. Life is good, right?
Reaction time's a little bit slower, they say.
I mean, maybe John Rocker is at an advanced age and maybe a little top heavy with all the bench press and shoulder work that he's doing, that maybe he's going to be super off balance too.
I'm sure both of them are going to look awful in the ring.
Yes.
But Rocker has the ability to land a KO punch with just the strength that he's bringing to the table here.
He's 50.
Yeah, he's 50. So
yeah.
I wonder what the weight difference is.
I want some big gloves, right? I'm just going to try to use my quickness.
It's insane. I'm sure if I was Pat Mahomes right now, I would be begging
my
dad.
He's the GOAT, bro. Through all of this, he's still the greatest quarterback ever, bro.
Yeah.
His brother's a mess. His daddy's a mess. His girl's a mess. And I say this respectfully because my life's a mess, too. I can spot it.
You're right. Yeah. Thanks for the no one.
Yeah.
I feel you on that, man. But the worst thing about this at this age, and I'm now less than 1 year from turning 50. Brian knows already about this, and we saw it with Mike Tyson. That's why people thought he was throwing the fight. But once you throw yourself forward, you can't stop.
You can't
and spring
stop.
Back.
You can't.
You stumble, and you got to take a couple of steps to get your balance back. So it's going to be sad.
Maybe the saddest fight in the history.
You saw me fall in the parking lot
of
Avis.
I mean, you start going and it's like, crap, I can't stop this.
Momentum.
Seriously, he's not wrong.
I'm going to have to make this like 30-second rounds. He's not wrong. Huffing and puffing.
God. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
Football's finest on a Zach Martin retirement Thursday here. It's the G-Back Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Expressway's next. LA Live 540. You will not believe who Brian thinks is better than Zeke was coming out of college. That's next here. It's the G-Back Nation on 105.3 The
Fan. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan. All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. The Expressway is brought to you by the on-time experts, and LA Live's coming up here in about 18 minutes. Home of the Cowboys, home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. We'll get around the bases every night at 6 o'clock. That's coming up at 6. But at 7 o'clock tonight, the Four Nations final play-by-play. There will be no Fan After Dark this evening, but you will be you'll be getting one of the most, I don't know, anticipated hockey games of our time. It really feels like. I mean, I know it's not an Olympics, but man, this story is just taking
pretty
on a
damn
life
close.
Of its own. Yeah,
pretty damn close.
So we're talking baseball with you here coming up at 6 o'clock. Brian, this has been really interesting with you. I guess some of the folks out there feel like this is a hot take, but I know the way you've talked about Ashton Jeanty since the day you scouted him, and said at the time you thought he was a better prospect than Bijan Robinson.
I did, and I do believe that. And you know, Bijan Robinson was one of my favorites. If you go back, there's a couple of backs I absolutely loved in previous drafts. I loved Bijan Robinson in my stack. You can go back and look at it on 105.3 The Fan. I mean, every year I put out my top, 200 players. You can see where Bijan Robinson was. You can even go back to 2016 when Ezekiel Elliott was drafted. I told you that Ezekiel Elliott, that I liked him better than Ramsey. That it came down to two guys potentially as first round picks. I said, hell, I would take Zeke at four, and the Cowboys did. So yeah, it's not that I don't love Zeke. I just think that Ashton Jeanty is that type of player. And I think that if you look at the intangibles, the leadership, the things he does on the field, the off the field stuff, how hard he works, his willingness to, how loyal he was, Dane Brugler said it perfectly. He could have taken money and went to an Alabama or a Florida or Ohio State or one of those places. And he didn't. He stayed. He was loyal to his guys, at Boise, who believed in him. That's just the type of guy that I want on my football team. And that's what I love about the, again, it's nothing against Zeke. I think Zeke was a hell of a football player. I told you what I thought about him in 2016. But I just think this kid is special. And I think he's special in the way he plays.
I mean, Zeke was damn special, too, coming out of college. He just didn't
Absolutely.
Have the staying power.
And people in his choice of lifestyle is different than what probably you're getting from Ashton Jeanty.
I mean, Joey Bosa's mom made him move out of the Zeke house. going into his junior year.
Yeah.
So he could actually get ready to play pro football.
There was a an edge rusher. I'm trying to remember the edge rusher. I'll think of it here in a minute.
That's hilarious.
But there's a kid that got kicked out of Ohio State that was living with them that ended up going to like Western Kentucky.
Oh yeah, the
like,
edge.
The edge rusher. And they told the kid, you've got to go, and they blamed him for all the things, all the shenanigans that was going on in that house. And they sent him away. They kicked him out of Columbus, and I think he went to Western Kentucky is where he went there.
Yeah, there's a pre-draft, a rookie supermodel thing that spits out the overall grade for each player, and they have it for the running back position from over the years. And the highest graded guy over the last like 20 years was Saquon Barkley.
Mm-hmm.
He basically checked every single box on this thing. Second was Christian McCaffrey. But now Ashton Jeanty is tied with the same 93 out of 100, basically, in this rookie supermodel deal, tied with McCaffrey for number two, ahead of Joe Mixon, who was fourth, Jahmyr Gibbs at five, and then Bijan Robinson at six. So it's some random rookie supermodel deal, but it's done a pretty nice job. All those guys have been really good, but Zeke didn't crack the top six of those guys.
Chief, I've been passionate with you. It was Noah Spence, says the 214. Yeah, thank you so much for that.
Yeah, yeah, I don't look at the text. I appreciate you doing it. Noah Spence, you're absolutely right.
I've been with you on running back value, but I think the way that this game is shifting, you look at the team, you can't improve the offensive line, but we know we have to improve the running game. And then unless a player falls to you at 12, there's not a lot of other surefire players that can be better. I'm getting super comfortable with the idea of taking Jeanty at 12 at this point in the evaluation. Overall, any other year, I would not want anything to do with the running back at 12. But everything that's been said, if he's better than Zeke, you're getting him at 12. There's not a way to improve your offensive line. The defensive tackle they might take is a boom or bust type of player. The tackle you might take, Patella, the corner that you might take might not run his 40s. It's like, it's just a minefield there. If you know you can get a player better than Ezekiel Elliott at 12.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of holes. I'm just trying my best not to pick the guy that could potentially bust on me. And Dane's right about Will Johnson.
That's what Blake said.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. So to me, that's where, like, guys like Will Johnson terrify me. Because, I know Dane's right. I know he can't run. And I know there's a possibility that he's not going to run. Because that's something that he knows that he's not good at. He doesn't have deep speed. He's a tall, long guy. But he doesn't have speed to carry guys and run with guys. And I just am trying my best not to make a mistake at 12. And to me, like I say, Jeanty, is it a positional value thing? It is the Cowboys because they don't have a running back. They don't. But is it a positional value thing to the rest of the league? Sure, it is. You're probably going to have the guy 4 or 5 years, and then you have to determine, like, okay, is he going up? Do we need to pay him? Do you need to franchise him? There's various things you can do to try and keep him around for a couple more years. The Cowboys have not done a very good job the last 2 years with their first round pick. I'm trying to get that thing back on track now, and I think this kid can do that.
Are you sold at all, Eric?
I wouldn't necessarily say that I am sold. I certainly understand, and I don't think it would be the worst thing ever to go ahead and make that move. I do think you've done things already to try and improve what your rushing attack is going to be. Early down rushing yards before contact and overall efficiency, there were only four teams better than the Cardinals this past year.
Yeah.
At rushing yards before contact. Mm-hmm. You just took their offensive line coach and the guy who's now going to be your lead strategist for putting your rushing attack together. And that was with a pretty below average offensive line when you just look at the guys there. So that's really encouraging.
Really good back too. James Conner's a good back.
No doubt. But this is just...
And
this
their ability to run with the quarterback. I think that helps. I mean, yeah. I'm saying it in a positive way.
But this is rushing yards before before contact.
Yeah.
So this is like really looking at what blocking is doing for your running back. When you go after contact, now you're saying, hey, running back, what can you do for me now? So I think you've started in the right place there. Jeanty is not the most explosive running back in this draft. There's like 10 guys ahead of him in terms of career explosive run percentage, 10 or more yards. there are more explosive guys in this draft. You have guys like a Cam Scataboo, who everybody says third round pick.
Yep.
He breaks tackles at basically the exact same rate on a per carry basis. And I can get him in the third round. I would rather take a chance at swing for the fences on a premium pick. You can't sit there at 12 and say there's just nobody good. I'm sorry, guys. The only thing that's good here is the running back. You're going to look back on this draft and you're going to see guys picked 13 through 25 and you're going to go, dang, that ended up being a damn good player at a premium position. And you're going to draft Ashton Jeanty, and he's immediately, just by being the 12th overall pick, going to be one of the highest paid running backs in the league.
Can you give
for
me
a team that is not even close
position,
to a running back away
can you give me a
from winning anything?
Can you give me a position at 12 you would like other than a running back? Can you just give me a position? And I'll try and find you a player. Give me a position that you that at 12, and I will, if you say, hey, listen, I need this, I will try and find that for you if you can tell me who what position you would like at 12.
And I think that's the beauty of where the Cowboys are at right now. They have so many needs. So it's
okay,
like edge rusher,
yeah,
defensive tackle, linebacker,
yeah,
wide receiver,
sure.
Any of the offensive line positions.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. If you if you told me
safety.
That, if you told me, yeah, I don't have a first round safety on my board. I have corners I can help you with. I have a potentially a edge rusher with Mike Green from Marshall. I have an offensive tackle. My best offensive tackle is the patella tendon with Simmons. You could talk about Campbell as well from LSU. Kind of think like he projects towards more towards a guard. McMillan might be there for me. He's my best wide receiver. So yeah, I mean, you know, and Dane was talking about some questions he had about McMillan. I don't necessarily agree with what he's saying about that. I think McMillan plays faster than he is, but that's where I'm at right now. If you could tell me, like you say, listen, I would love to have Green from Marshall, the edge. I'm with you. I'm good with that. Graham,
yeah.
Defensive tackle from Michigan. I'm all about that. Say Barron, Jody Barron from Texas. That one's a little bit more of a question, but I have a first round grade on him.
Okay.
So sure.
Maybe Jalen Walker falls. Well, Georgia edge.
See, that's Jalen Walker. There's people that are not sure that he's an edge or a linebacker. I have him at linebacker. There's people that will argue with you about that. No, he is an edge. You ask Zach. Zach thinks he's an edge. Vach Lombardi, who I do podcasts with, who studies the draft extensively, he thinks he's an edge. I think he's an off-ball linebacker. I talked to friends of mine who scout in the league, and they're saying, hey, he's going to get swallowed if you play him at edge. He probably needs to be an inside linebacker and a situational player as a rusher. So, yeah, I absolutely. I mean, if you tell me I could pick any one of those first-round guys, sure. But I can't with any certainty tell you I feel better about the pick of Jeanty as opposed to I have questions about everybody else.
Eric opens up a really interesting angle, though. What if in the third round you do end up getting a player that's more explosive, right? And I think the house call ability is what this team needs, the touchdown ability. 8 to 12 yards, that's great. But the thing that makes Saquon Barkley that special is the ability to score from anywhere on the football field. And I don't know if the Eagles have the kind of season or the kind of playoff run they do without that threat. You know, so if I can get that in round three, we'll see. But the willingness to take a chance on a boomer bust player there at 12 might be, you know, more tantalizing. And maybe that's where the Cowboys are headed.
Hey, where do you have this Giddens fella, the running back from K-State, who you'll have familiarity with him with Connor Riley, the offensive line coach coming from K-State.
Yeah,
but this dude I keep seeing explosive as hell.
Yeah, that the thing about it is that the tape is not explosive as hell. That's the thing about it is this, let me read you what I got. He's an upright runner. I wonder with his vision and patience come from his lack of quickness or a burst. I don't really see a fast guy here. My guess is he's likely a mid 4.5 guy time speed-wise. He had trouble running away from defenders. I just don't see the elite top-end speed, but does show the ability to create yards after contact. Plays with some pretty good balance, is able to stand his feet. He had 54 missed tackles, has a nose for the end zone. He had 25 carries for 15-plus yards for the season. That was 7th best in the country. But you don't see a guy that is this run away from people. You know, but you see a guy that can get the runs. Maybe he gets 15 yards or more, and then he's tackled right there. But I can say I think the problem with this guy is too, he's really just a runner. He doesn't catch the ball particularly well, and he doesn't block worth a damn.
Yeah.
So to me,
gotcha.
I'm trying to find if you I understand what the guy is. I was going through guys that if you talk about, you know, missed tackles and long runs, you know, that's what I was trying to go through and just kind of see. For example, a guy named RJ Harvey from Central Florida.
He's the most explosive in terms of percentage of runs that go 10 or more yards.
He had 32 of them this year. He had 32 of them. He's 5'9", he's 208 is what he is. He's reliable catching the football. He's one of those guys. He's kind of a chunky built guy, kind of a thick built guy. So he kind of protects himself that way. I like the physicality that he plays for. He averaged almost 7 yards a carry. He was a transfer from Virginia. So the last couple of seasons there with the Golden Knights, he does make plays with the ball in his hands. He does have a unique running style the way he plays.
What round?
He's a third round guy. He's really slow develop. They play with a really slow developing style. That was that option. They read it, give it to him, or they read it, pull it from him. So you see, like, it's like he almost plays like he's at a stop, and then he sees where he needs to go. But I think you're right. There's times where he looks like he's going to get trapped, and then he's got a little sudden burst through the hole, and you're right about the number of carries that he's had where he's gained 15 or more yards.
Fantastic conversation, guys. I would just add to it, I don't think you can come out of this without a difference-making running back, you know, because you could add a receiver and they'll still sit in that coverage, and Dak doesn't have the answers to that test. You know, you could have the best wide receivers and they'd be out there. We're dropping 7 guys. We're dropping 8 guys sometimes. And it's just, we're done until you can run them into getting 7-8 guys in the box consistently and giving one-on-one coverage on the outside. I think your passing game is done for. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't, part of me doesn't want to risk a boomer bust pick at 12. The other part of me doesn't want to risk a running back in the third round that can't be a difference maker for us. We have a couple of years left in Dak Prescott's prime. And if it's going to come together, it has to be the coaching staff designing a scheme where you can create advantages and a runner that can exploit those advantages to give Dak the looks that he needs on the outside. And I'll address every other need after that is done, you know, but I can't come out of this offseason without securing that.
And Ginty wants to be here. I mean, yes. we do know that. And I don't know how much that plays brought us, like, for Jerry and company when he says that. Here he is with John Gruden. John Gruden asked him, like, where do you most want to play?
Hypothetically, what city would you like to live in and play football?
Yeah, I mean, I was, you know, just there a few years ago playing high school football, you know. So in the Ford, you know, Ford Center, you know, up there in Frisco, Texas. So, you know, to be back in Dallas, you know, practicing in that facility, playing in that facility again, I think that would be amazing.
And John Machota in the Athletics beat writer mock, each writer for each team made the selection for their respective teams. And John Machota of the Athletic covers the Cowboys, took Ginty at 12. He was still there.
That's the very simple one. You're not wrong about the problem that you run into with these running backs, I think, is that if you don't take Ginty and you're looking like you're looking for second round guys, the way that we did that Daniel Jeremiah mock draft the other day,
They're flying off the board.
So now I'm thinking, okay, I like Jaden Blue from Texas. You know, I like the kid from Central Florida that I just mentioned. You know, those are guys, Harvey, guys like that. I like them, and if, you know, but I might have to take them around early. I mean, I might have to take a third round back who maybe doesn't block as well, doesn't catch the ball as well, doesn't have the burst as well. But like I say, that's what I might be forced to do. But I'm okay with that because those guys are good players. I'm not saying they're not good players. I have them in that round for a reason. But they have some trait that they're deficient at that's keeping them in that round.
All right, the big story of the day, it's the top story right now on ESPN.com, is All-Pro guard Zach Martin retiring 7 of his 10 NFL seasons as a first-team All-Pro. 9 Pro Bowls, a member of the 2010 All-Decade team. We've talked about that a couple of times already in the show since it broke just under an hour ago. And I think that officially creates the end of that great line era that Tyron Smith, Travis Frederick, and Zach Martin brought in along with Ron Leary and Doug Free in 2014, and then they managed to keep Cruz in there for a while. But now it's all about building the next great offensive line. And when you talk about where the gap is from where you are to where you need to be, it's, you know, probably a significant number of years before you could even hope to have a line as good as what you had the majority of Zach Martin's career. Spurs shutting down Victor Wembanyama with blood clots. That's terrifying. It might possibly be career threatening, but the Spurs do believe this is going to be a one and done type of blood clot, and he'll be good to go in 6 months after having to be on blood thinners. But it has been career threatening for athletes in the past. Texas and USC nixing the spring game. They think their players need rest, and these coaches are tired of other programs coming around to scouting their spring game, trying to get guys in the transfer portal.
Yeah, absolutely, man. There's a lot of poaching going on, and there's a lot of big bucks that are being thrown around, and nobody wants to give you an extra look at their players if they can avoid it.
Okay, we are your home of the Rangers as well, and spring training games are underway tomorrow afternoon. We have a proper round tripper coming up at 6 o'clock. We'll give you all the baseball stuff. Here's Lucius Alexander with LA Live.
Big bucks. You said big bucks being thrown around. That's what I like to hear. Big bucks being thrown around. Big bucks. No whammies, baby. All right. It is a Thirsty Thursday Ladies Night edition of LA Live. Right after the great Rick James. Bow-legged piggy got a booty kind of heavy. Bow-legged piggy, booty kind of heavy.
Let's go, Peggy. Miss Peggy Bother, Peggy, Peggy Bother, Peggy, Peggy Bother, Peggy Bother, Peggy, Peggy Bother. Ah, make that ass drop, make that ass rock, ooh. Make that ass drop, make that ass rock, ooh. Do it for a whopper, make it wobble for a whopper. Wobble for a whopper, make it wobble for a whopper. Ooh, Peggy Sue, ooh, ooh, Peggy, ooh, 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 Peggy, ooh, Peggy, ooh, ooh, ooh. Peggy about to say she about to work it like a black girl. Make that ass jump, make it rock like a black girl. Rock. You fine, Peggy.
Yeah.
You fine, Peggy. Ooh, you fine, Peggy. Ooh, bow-legged Peggy and a booty kind of heavy. Bend it on over, girl, to it like a lemon. Bow-legged Peggy, booty kind of heavy. Bend that ass over, to it like a lemon. Lift that ass. Lift that ass. Lift that ass. Ooh. Peggy about to work, she about to rock, she about to move, she about to make it.
I thought he said Peggy was fired. I thought he said fire, but he said fine, right?
Nah, yeah, it's fine. Bow-legged Peggy got a booty kind of heavy. Yeah, this is this lady that works at a Burger King down there in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And she just so happened to have a little heavy thing back there. So they, you know, my guy felt motivated to make a whole song for her.
Yep, sure. Got a fan club.
I'm telling you, dude, what the heck is going on? All right, this is LA Live for Thursday, February 20th, 2025. It is a Thirsty Thursday Ladies Night edition. Get my boy. Tonight is for the ladies. Hell, let's be honest. Every night is for the ladies, yes. Yeah. And shout out to all the lady tolos that listen to the fan. You are appreciated. And remember, LA cares if nobody else cares. I tell you what. Hey, speaking of, have you guys ever did radio for a fan base that was majority women?
No, sir.
I don't think so.
It's a different vibe, I'll tell you that.
Yes. Yes. Listening to some of those guys, that takes a special set of skills.
It's a different vibe, I'll tell you that.
I think it's mostly guys that spent high school in the friend zone. They have that special set of skills.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I didn't spend most of my time in the friend zone in high school, but I definitely...
Are you an expert at doing radio for the ladies?
No, this is just the first time I've ever done radio, and it's like a whole lot of dudes, like DMs and everything. You're like, okay, what's happening? Oh, my God.
Well, I was just saying, like, the guys that are in the friend zone, they're really good and sensitive at talking to the lady, right? So it would make sense that they would have a natural appeal to them. Oh, this is a friendly guy. He's cool.
Little light FM guys is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see what you're doing there.
Yeah.
I see what you're doing there. All right. I just thought I asked.
No offense. Yeah, no offense.
Yeah.
Sometimes I misfire on that. You know, intention to execution.
I
rarely.
It's all gravy, baby. All right, G-Back of the Day. We do it every weekday on The Fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up at Lucky Lucius P on social media, Lucius Alexander on Facebook, or you can follow us all if you find G-Back Nation on Twitter. A winner right here for day number four is The Fan After Dark, Blake. Fan phenom Blake, let me say that, was dealing with a fan texter that is no longer feeling him, and then they just got crazy after that.
682 is not dating me, Blake. I'm starting to not like you. I'll finish.
What a thing to say
on Valentine's Day.
What a thing, man. Why? What'd he say?
I loved you when you started.
Okay.
But you got to stop being a hater. You smash on Fred, and he's pretty non-objective despite being a KC native.
Oh, we got a Fred Truther on there.
Okay.
Yeah, we got Fred's burner on here.
First of all, hey, look. Hey, thanks. But. That's what. But, I mean, we both bust on each other.
No, I got to leave the show. No. No way you just said that.
What mic does he sit at?
That one when we're doing cross.
That one, the Wooly Bully one.
My man said, God, dog, bro. All right, LA Live 105.3 The Fan on a ladies' night. The Queen of Pakistan. You guys remember the Queen of Pakistan?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
Yeah.
She went crazy viral not too long ago because she was like catfishing a guy.
Oh, okay.
A young dude in Pakistan.
Yeah.
Was she the one that said she could fix everything for $100,000?
Yeah,
okay. She's airline tickets.
Yes. She needed airline tickets and all that good stuff, right? Well, I went to allhiphop.com, which I used to go there all the time and read the ill seed. Yes, I did. Oh, I was on the ill seed. Well, she has been detained in Dubai.
Uh-oh.
Apparently. No one's heard from her since February 7th.
Uh-oh.
If you're not familiar, I'll just give you a little highlights of her. The press conferences when she was in Pakistan.
Yes, I'm saying.
Listen! You talk too much. My plan is to reconstruct this whole country, okay?
Yeah.
I'm asking for $100,000 or more. I need $20,000 by this week, okay? In my pockets, in cash. Okay? That's a demand to the government. I'm not talking unless y'all giving me land and 2,000 or more every week. You hear me?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Say yeah at the end.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
We understand. What's that accent? Is she from like Rhode Island or Long Island or something?
I think that's the Bronx.
Okay, Bronx.
I think that's the Bronx oozing out of her. Yeah, she arrived in Dubai intending to board an Emirates flight to New York to come back on home.
Okay.
However, she was ordered off, escorted off that flight. And people don't know why. The authorities say she was taken into protective custody.
Ooh, that does not sound good.
Because her family back in New York saying, hey, be gentle with her. She does have some mental issues.
Okay.
So watch how you talk to her and everything. The authorities are saying that, well, we didn't want to put her on the plane for 15 hours. We didn't know how she was going to act.
Okay.
Yeah, the internet is saying that she got arrested for smoking in public and cussing at men.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's the...
Yeah, they frown on that.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I just want to let you know the Queen of Pakistan is out here. Nobody's heard from her since February 7th. At least that's what allhiphop.com is saying.
Yeah, you know, you got to have your stuff together if you're going to take some of these international vacations to North Korea, Russia, a lot of places around Middle East.
Hey, she should have stayed in Pakistan. They were loving her out there.
Were they?
Yeah, man. She was demanding all this money, and I seen videos of her like counting money, just big money. You know what I mean? And they were so patient with her. How long do you plan on being here? Well, I'm from Pakistan now. They like, oh, okay. Had guys wanting to marry her because the family that she was catfishing, she was using a picture of a white woman with blonde hair, and she showed up, and it was this big old black chick from the Bronx. And the family's like, no, this ain't it. This ain't what we're talking about. So good luck with that, man. I'm going to keep up with her. For one crazy queen to another, and I use that word crazy respectfully, because I got a couple of crazy queens in my life. A couple. That means two.
Two.
That means two.
Two.
And you know who you are. Let's go to this story right here. Lady in good spirits after someone crashed into her home. Let's take a trip down under. News 9 Sydney with the report right here, fellas.
A speeding car in a suburban street and hear the moment of impact crashing into a home. The results, skid marks up an embankment at Greenfield Park, along with the car that made them. The owners were inside at the time watching TV when the out-of-control vehicle crashed into their house.
I heard a big bang. I opened up the front door and I said, oh my God, look at this crap. This car has gone through me house.
This car has gone through me house. That's a real person, man. Hold on, let me run it back.
I opened up the front door and I said, oh my God, look at this crap. This car has gone through me house like a big explosion.
The 17-year-old P-plate driver had lost control. His car, a crumpled mess. The house, significantly damaged.
It scared the willies out of me. Yeah, I'm not swearing.
The driver was...
They're just different down there.
Yeah.
They're just different.
Well, I mean, wasn't it a penal colony to start?
Yeah.
Was, oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
All the
That's how it began?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of the bad guys down there.
Yeah. Because they are just different. Man.
How far is that boat ride? We get them down there?
They're wild, man. They like to fight. Wild. They drink more than us. They fight more than us.
Their animals are scary.
Yeah.
The animals are hella scary. Yeah.
They're living around like giant spiders and multiple venomous snakes. I mean, you got to fight kangaroos.
I bumped into a great Australian crew in New Orleans, like NFL Australia or whatever. These guys were hilarious. And I asked them about the crazy creatures that we always hear about. And they're like, yeah, every once in a while we like to put that out there so keep you Americans out of here.
Oh, no.
Like, make y'all too scared to come here.
Yeah, well, you know, in World War II, American soldiers were staying in Australia and they had to leave and go elsewhere because they were so jealous of us taking their women. Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised by that.
It's a layup. They're so mean to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, come on. Give me an effing beer. Is this how you talk to your girl?
Really? We have the hot accents there, right? Isn't that the case?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I get it.
This is some more of this crazy lady. They had a car crash through a crib.
The house significantly damaged.
It scared the willies out of me. See, I'm not swearing.
The driver was treated at the scene before being taken to hospital for mandatory testing. Police now investigating if speed was the cause.
Thank God that it didn't smash my big TV screen which was on the wall. That's a 75-inch. My son brought me that.
Flex.
Ray's husband, Eric, was sitting in the front room at the time of the crash. Thankfully, neither was injured.
He said, damn.
Yeah.
I thought it got her.
But it's left a mark.
I'm still shocked and stunned and frightened. Thank God my daughter's here to help me.
Eddie Meyer, 9 News.
I like how they just put that on TV. Like, this is not strange.
Yeah. This is what we're going to go viral for here.
It's not strange at all.
That's why I would not live on a corner next to a busy road, Lucius. I did it once, and I was always a little bit nervous. Like, there was just a wooden fence separating us from cars going 55 miles an hour. And then our front door was right there. And so when I'm driving through town, I'm like, well, there's a house I wouldn't live at. And you see these stories on the news, don't you?
Yes.
This is a somewhat regular occurrence. My buddy back in Portland had his home run into by a garbage truck.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah.
By the city's garbage truck?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. He came up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I would have cowed with a man. What? Hey, you guys okay? You guys need a soda or anything? You guys feeling? Yeah. That's right. Oh, man. Yeah. My grandfather's old house, somebody ran into that. He didn't live there at the time, but it was like a year ago. Like, I mean, a year from him moving out of it, somebody ran smack into it, bro. Wow.
Yeah. You know, some of these folks, they put the giant cement columns in front of their yards and huge rows of trees. I understand that. You know, I don't think I'd be able to sleep quite.
Yeah. I got another story in my folder about a guy who's people just keep running into his house and he's got signs in the front. They say, watch out. You know what I'm saying? Like, he wrote them. I found this the other day. I think it was me, you, Chris, and Bassick. We were at Texas Motor Speedway.
Yes.
There's a lot of drinking going on.
Here we go.
Yeah, and Mike was just stepping all over
this
you.
Was the drunkest I've ever heard, Mike.
Entrance into the through the tunnel and look to the left. You'll see us here at the combine.
At the compound.
Combine.
Wow.
That's in Indianapolis.
Yeah, I know.
Jeez.
I need to get the hell out of here. I'm getting intoxicated too now.
Yeah.
Just starting to, though.
Yeah.
I haven't felt any effects.
We only have 10 more minutes of radio, and then we can really get drunk. You hear that?
Mike, stop dry snitching. Oh.
Legendary line from Mike. Yeah, it was a great night.
Here at the Combine.
I remember waking up in the RV that morning. I was like, holy crap, what happened?
Yes. Oh, y'all spent the night out there?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we got some RVs and
breakfast.
They were showing TVs on or movies on Big Hoss, I think, the giant TV out there. It's incredible.
Hold up.
It's been real hard to talk to one another. You know, a relationship ain't nothing without communication.
Hey.
Who is this?
It's the OJs.
OJs?
Yeah, boy. Yeah. You know there's something in the ashtray when this come
yeah,
on.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You're in between drags. Yeah. You're like, telling the story.
Yeah. Got that sunroof open.
Yeah.
Got the neon lights in the car glowing. Right. Boom. And that bass is hitting from behind. Boom. All right, man. My name is Lucius Alexander. I have some more stuff lined up here, but I just don't have the time to get to it. So I'm going to get on out of here, get ready for that hockey situation tonight. Probably stop and get me some hot wings from the old wing stop.
Well, while you're on your way, Lucius, you'll be able to listen right here on the Fan.
We sure will. 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock. I walk in there, and they know my name, bro. The wing stop now. Yeah. Nah, that's not good.
Are you just L.A. there?
Yeah, just
you...
L.A. Okay. Just, I put it on the yard. What's up, L.A.? Yeah. All right. My name is Lucius Alexander. I'll be black tomorrow. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. That's my time. Holla.
L.A. Live every night at 540 here in the G-Bag Nation. Guess what's going on with Luka already? Lakers in Portland this evening. There's good Mavs news to reset if you missed that. And a key date to look out for a Mavericks possible returns. So it's been a very eventful day in the world of sports. And we'll hit all that for you, then go around the bases here on your home of the Rangers, 105 through the Fan.